It is good to see all of you here this morning. I would ask you to please take out your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. Would like to welcome those that are visiting with us. It's so much of an encouragement to have those that put a priority on spiritual things for this day and have chosen to join us. We hope that this time will be beneficial to you as it is beneficial to us. And of course, if there's any questions you have, we'll be happy to talk with you about those things. I don't know how you feel today, this being the very last day of the year, but sure seems like 2023 went by very quickly. Jill and Alex just had their first anniversary. Seemed like that came pretty quick too. I don't know, maybe it's just age, but time seems to catch up on me a lot more than it used to. But I'm thankful for this past year. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And I look forward to what comes in the new year. And I realize that we should undergo an evaluation of ourselves on a more regular basis than once a year. But it's just a natural time as we change that calendar that we begin to think a little bit about what the past year had and what next year might hold. And whether this past year was a good year for you or a bad year for you in a complete perspective in terms of what has happened in your lives, I hope that you're looking forward to serving the Lord in the new year. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Now, James is communicating a very important message through the Spirit. He's communicating that message that no matter what you think you might accomplish in the future, no matter what you plan to do, you need to consider the Lord. Not just the Lord's will, but also your service to the Lord in such a way that you can glorify Him each and every day that goes by. And, you know, the beginning of a new year is a good time to think about what do I want to accomplish as a servant of the Lord, as a servant within a local congregation, trying to help my brothers and sisters? What do I want to accomplish in terms of my personal growth this coming year? And as we evaluate ourselves and we prepare to set some new goals or to think about these things, we need to begin at the right spot. And since we're all at different stages in our spiritual lives, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to just throw out here and say, well, I'm going to give you a one-size-fits-all lesson on all the New Year's resolutions that you ought to have for this year. Because that's going to be very individual. It's going to be very different. And as we think about ourselves in this past year, maybe we'll think about, well, you know, I didn't do a very good job of serving the Lord in this area. I'm going to do better in that this year. Or maybe you feel like you accomplished some good progress this past year, and you think about how you can continue that progress. But nevertheless, there may be a few basic things that we need to work on before we can make that progress, before we can move forward. And so this lesson this morning is designed to help us achieve our spiritual goals, to draw closer to the Lord by deciding some very basic things that need to be in place and that we need to be thinking about as we undertake this new year. And so it's sometimes helpful to work from the general to the specific. For example, instead of saying we all need to pray and study the Word more, or we should be showing more interest in each other or in the work of the church, or we ought to teach someone the gospel, perhaps what we need to do is step back just a little bit and think about the fact that we need something a little bit more general. And then as our commitment to that general principle grows, then we can more effectively work in those specifics. But again, some of these things are going to be personal. You're going to need to think about them for your place and your continued service to the Lord. But the principles I'm going to talk about this morning will help us carry out that good intention of service to Him. And the first is that we need to be serious about our time. Now, the business world understands the importance of managing time. I don't think there's anyone that owns or runs a business or is a manager in some position within a business that does not think about productivity, does not think about the fact that you're paying workers for a certain amount of time and you want to get a certain amount of work that is accomplished within that time. So the business world understands that, and we think about it too. Maybe at the beginning of the year, you're thinking about a trip you might like to make this year and what you might need to get done before you could make that trip. Or maybe there's some events that are coming up that you might need to plan. And so you begin to think about, well, I need to accomplish these certain things by this particular date. That's time management. That's breaking things down so that you can accomplish those goals. And so even the world knows that the time is too precious to be squandered. There's only a certain amount of it. It doesn't matter how much I would like to have an extra hour each day. I cannot will that to happen. It doesn't matter how much I'd like to have 400 days in a year instead of 365. It's just not going to happen. I can't make more time. I can't make it happen. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, "We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." There's a finite amount of time. And so Jesus was telling His disciples that He had a lot that He wanted to accomplish, but He only had a little bit of time to get it done. For a little bit of context, the Jews had just taken up stones to throw at Jesus for declaring Himself to be part of the Godhead. Jesus then took the time afterward to heal a blind man. Even with that understanding that there is a finite amount of time, He would see the important things around Him and engage Himself in those important things. In the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse 42, it says, "When it was day, He departed and went to a desolate place, and the people sought Him and came to Him and would have kept Him from leaving them. But He said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.'" As someone who's been preaching for a good while now, that verse is kind of difficult for me. I kind of think about going and doing a gospel meeting for another congregation and how beneficial that is, not just for them, but for me to be built up when I go to one of those things and then to have to leave. And there's that desire. I kind of like to continue this on. Let's extend this a few more days. Let's go a little bit longer. But there are things that demand time. We have responsibilities to accomplish. I imagine that Jesus is sitting here looking at people that are seeking Him out, and He enjoys that. He would have to enjoy that because that was His goal, was to find people that would listen to what He had to say. But yet He says, "I have other towns I've got to go to as well. I've got to reach out to them too. I can't stay here any longer because I've only got so much time." And so in John 13 and verse 1, it says, "Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." He made use of every moment that He had to have the maximum benefit that He could provide, loving them and building them up every moment of time that He had available. And Jesus wants us to view time the same way. We too are on a time schedule, and we have to act in obedience to God. We can't continually put it off in procrastination and say, "Well, yeah, I'll do that later. Surely somebody else can do it today, and I can do it tomorrow." Well, what happens when tomorrow comes? Well, there's some reason to push that off again, isn't it? That's what procrastination does. We tend to continually push things off. And so we must act now while we have the time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, He said, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Brother Robert made mention of this battle that we have against Satan every single day of our lives, and that it can erode our commitment. But when we're thinking about the time that we have, making the best use of the time, the fact is Satan's always going to throw more stuff to do, more things to capture your attention into your way. And we have to be the disciplined individual that says, I don't have time for that. Even if it's not sinful, we still have to be able to say, I don't have time for that. There are more important things to do. That's what he's talking about when he says making the best use of the time. Because time gets used no matter what you do. That clock back there keeps moving. And that's just a measurement of time. That's not time itself. Whether I sit and do nothing or whether I'm active, time passes by. Time is used up. Make the best use of the time. And so we as Christians ought to know this better than anybody else. Paul exhorted us to be wise in our use of that time. Don't squander it on that which is unnecessary and is not beneficial. Time is short. But as much as we know that time is finite, we also know that judgment is sure. Let's go over to the book of Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, look down with me to verse 37. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. So as we think about being serious in the use of our time, which God has granted us in some unknown quantity, we do not know how long we will live. Look at the words of Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 37. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. I think we know enough about Noah to know that he didn't keep things to himself, even though he was, you know, he and his family were the only ones that ended up going on that ark to be saved in that flood. He spent a lot of time, a lot of years building that ark. And I always kind of worked this over in my imagination of his neighbors coming by. What you doing, Noah? I'm building this ark. Why would you want to do that? Well, let me tell you why I would want to do that. That's what I imagine happening with Noah. Yet we see that the people saw no indications whatsoever that they should do anything different than enjoy themselves. Life had not changed while Noah was building that ark. No, life didn't change at all. And then the floods came. And I'm not saying don't make plans in our everyday lives for things that we want to accomplish personally in a secular fashion. I'm saying that God needs to be the center of all plans. His will needs to be accounted for in what I can do every single day of my life. Seek the will of the Lord in all things. Be serious about the time that it will take to accomplish those goals. And consider the fact that we are, as far as God is concerned, determined by the choices we make and the use of our time. The world knows if you waste your money, you're going to go broke. If you damage friendships, you'll become lonely. Realize when we squander time, we give away a part of our lives that we can't get back. Once that time has passed, it's gone. It's not there anymore. The second thing for you is be serious about this self-examination. And we often resist that. We often resist taking a good, hard look. This is December 31st, the very last day of the calendar on this particular year. I think it's probably a good day for us to think about this past year. Think about some of the events that happened, not just in our lives, but in the lives of our brethren. And we need to do an examination of ourselves. Did I really serve the Lord faithfully this year? Did I do everything that I could? Was I a true servant to the Lord? And this is not because it's just because it's beneficial, but because God commands us to do this very thing. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, or you do not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. But here's the hard part. You're not examining yourself against somebody else. You're examining yourself against the revealed Word of God. And we need to accept that that is a very, very high standard. But what does God want to see is effort. He wants to see work behind our service to Him. Work that means that I'm going to do my very best to walk in the light. I'm going to do my very best to make a habit of living according to His will each and every day, taking advantage of every opportunity that I am presented with, that I might share the gospel, I might serve somebody else, I might show love to my brethren, to my neighbor. I'm going to accomplish these things. And so from time to time, we just need to think about, have I been doing what I committed myself to do? The Holy Spirit uses some pretty straightforward words there. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Do you not realize that you can fail to meet the test? You can be disqualified. Because right now, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, or it is not. And how we conduct ourselves day by day, whether we continue to walk in the light or whether we leave the light to walk in the darkness, determines whether our name stays in that, whether we fulfill the will of the Lord or not. And so there's four questions, I think, that can help us examine ourselves by God's divine revelation. And the first is, what am I doing right? And to answer that, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I love the writings of Paul, and I realize he's what we have a whole lot of writings from. So maybe that's because I don't have a lot of other things to look at, because Paul wrote most of it. But I do love the way that Paul wrote in this one very specific regard. Paul gave credit where credit was due. Paul wanted to commend people that were serving the Lord. He didn't just write them a letter and say, look, let me tell you all the things you're doing wrong. He would tell them the things they were doing right. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He who has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Understand, he's not saying, you guys are perfect. You guys don't have to work on anything. He's saying, I am so thankful for these things that I can see in you. So here's a mistake that we make when we begin self-examination. It's very easy to go right to all the failures in our lives. The moments we gave in to temptation, the moments we didn't take advantage of being able to do something good, whatever the case is. It is so easy to just focus on the negative. And let me tell you, if you just focus on the negative, you will not accomplish the positive. It will tear you down. It will make you want to give up. When somebody says, I just can't do it, it's because they're focusing on the failure. They're not focusing on progress, improvement, or the good things that we have done. So start with thinking about the things over the past year that maybe a year ago you set some goals and said, I want to grow in this particular part of my spiritual life, and you can identify that you accomplished that. That there was growth in that area. Give yourself credit where credit is due, just like Paul was giving the Thessalonians. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go to the second question, or second thing that we can address. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. As much as we want to ask the question, what am I doing right? We do need to ask the question of what am I doing wrong? And that might be a hard pill to swallow. It might be a difficult thing to begin to address, that there are certain mistakes that you've been making. But nonetheless, we must identify that mistakes are made. It's interesting the way that the Spirit frames this, that they all had the same spiritual drink. They all had the same spiritual advantages, if you will. And yet, some made this mistake, some made this mistake, some made this mistake. And what was the result? They were not pleasing to the Lord. And if you're here this morning, and if you're listening to this, and if you're paying attention to this sermon, I assume that you have a desire to be pleasing to the Lord. I assume that you'd want to have that relationship with Him, and you want your name to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so in order to accomplish that, we do need to be honest that we do have some deficiencies. But let me go to the third question. Kind of connect it back to the first one is, why am I doing the right things? Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. God wants us to do the right things, but He also wants us to do them for the right reasons. We don't want to do the right things merely because, well, that's what everybody expects of me. Or, you know, people might look down on me, or people might chastise me in some way. No. Why do I do the right things? Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. He says, look, there's people that are going to do things simply to please other people or to elevate them in the sight of others. In other words, they have ulterior motives. Your motives need to be to please the Lord. When you ask, why do I do the right things, it needs to be because it is the right thing to do and it is what the Lord expects of me. Because if we kind of move from Question two and the question three, what am I doing wrong? And then why am I doing the right things? We need to realize that the only way that we truly stop doing those things that were wrong in our lives is because we're motivated to change. And we're not going to be motivated to change for superficial reasons. It needs to be because it is the right thing to do in the sight of God. And then the last question is, am I doing the important things? So there in Matthew chapter 6, if you go down to verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do we spend that most precious resource that we have been given on the things that matter most? Told you that time ticks by no matter what we choose to do. Make the best use of it. Are we doing the things that matter most? And then my third and last thing is be serious about obedience. Jesus was serious about his obedience to the will of the Father to fulfill that plan that was made before the time began in order to save man from sin. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He was obedient. Don't resist your faith being integral to every single part of your life. Let it extend to every area, every hobby, every workday, every activity that you undertake. If you're reserving a section or a part of your life where you don't seek the Lord's will, then your obedience is not yet complete. Our greatest challenge in the year to come, day upon day upon day, will be that proper use of our time obediently to the will of the Lord. Do we seriously want to serve and obey God with our time? Look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 4. He said, what shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. We've had a few mornings like that lately. I have a heavy dew in the mornings, but as soon as the sun comes up, starts beating down on it, evaporates or soaked in, and it's gone. Might have had a little bit of fog in the morning. Might have had to use the fog lights on the car going to work that morning. But the sun came up, and it began to disappear. He says, your love is like that. Or we might even state our service or our obedience can be like that. We come around the first of the year and we think, I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to serve. I'm going to make the best use of my time. And we start off on day one doing pretty good. And then day two we do pretty good. And then some number of days goes by and it begins to wane. Our service to God needs to endure the test of time. It need not be like that dew that goes away quickly. Will the good intentions that we have toward the Lord fade away as soon as we walk out the door today? I had a good brother in Christ many years ago that talked about attending the services of the local church. And I think he was doing it in a Wednesday night invitation. And he said, my battery gets drained every single day. And he said, I need to be recharged. And there is no recharge like gathering with the brethren to worship and study the Lord. He said, what happens if I skip a day? And of course, he was an engineer and he got into technical terms about what happens to batteries if you get too low and it can destroy cells. But the point is, it can be really harmful to let that charge get too low. If we're not doing the things to spiritually charge us up, including assembling with the saints, including studying and reading our word every single day, including our diligent prayer life, including looking for those opportunities to serve and fulfill the things which he has assigned to us, making the best use of the time, then your battery is being drained. And it can get dangerously low. Good intentions need to be followed up upon. Will we be serious enough about time that we will examine our use of it to see whether or not we're living in an obedient manner before God? Improvements in our lives will be forthcoming if we're serious about these three things that I've talked to you about this morning. Being serious about really the proper use of our time and examining our lives in light of the truth and the wisdom of God's Word. Now, lest you misunderstand me, I'm not saying that you can't have hobbies in this world. I'm not saying you can't have a vacation or anything like that. That's not what we mean when we talk about the best use of the time. We're talking about just taking advantage of every opportunity that, by the way, if you're like me, you're praying for those opportunities to share the word. You're praying for those opportunities that you might see how to build somebody else up. And if we pray for the opportunity and then watch it go by, that's fruitless. That's what we're talking about. Making the best use of the time that God has given us, taking advantage of those opportunities, examining our lives. And yes, maybe you made the mistake of letting that opportunity go by, but examining yourself in such a way, okay, why did I watch it go by? Was I afraid? Was there some other issue? I need to overcome that. I need to change that. And so undergo all of these things on a constant basis and obeying Him completely, storing up in our hearts the word of the Lord that we might follow it and keep filling that up. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but you know, there's sometimes when I'm reading the word and I'll come across something that I've forgotten. You ever do that? Just something that you didn't remember? I come across that from time to time, and I've thought about that, and I think about it in terms of a bucket. And you've got this big bucket that's sitting here, right? And you want that bucket to be full. But the bucket's got a hole in it. And so you can't stop putting water in it. And maybe you're bailing water with a cup to put it in it. Maybe you're trying to catch some of that came out and put it back in it. But the moment you stop putting anything in, the level begins to drop. That's what happens to your faith when you stop feeding yourself the Word of God. That level begins to drop. It goes away. And then it's even harder to try to fill it up again. We need to take all of every single day seriously in serving the Lord our God. If you're here this morning and you realize that sin is a real problem in your life, because sin separates us from God. If you're here this morning and you realize that because of that separation made by sin, you cannot be in a fellowship relationship with God, and that needs to be overcome. Because you want to have that relationship with Him. You want a hope of eternal life in heaven with Him in that glorious existence. But if you also realize that maybe you don't know what God's prescription is for having that relationship with Him, I, as well as other members of this congregation, will be happy to talk with you about those things. We'd be happy to show you from the Word of the Lord what He requires for you to be in that relationship with Him, to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that you would be saved. If you understand those things and you're ready to make a commitment to Him, that you want to be a child of God and you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, we'll certainly help you with that too. And we would rejoice. We might even shed tears because we'd be so happy for you committing yourself to the Lord, becoming our brother and sister in the faith. But if you also realize that there's some deficiency you've found in that self-examination, and at this time you'd like to confess that deficiency, you'd like to ask your brethren for assistance, for help, and for prayers, then we offer that as well. Brother Jay has chosen number 588 as an invitation song. We extend a heartfelt invitation to you to let us help you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?